Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be looking at wise parents at work here this first hour. And that'll be in Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 4, 1 says, "Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" By way of introduction to chapter 4, we're still preparing actually to get to the Proverbs. We've gone through the preparation of verse or chapter 1 that said, Proverbs, God's wisdom is available to anybody who wants it. It's right here. It's screaming to be heard. Chapter 2 told us if you really want it, you have to work at it to get it. It's not just a gimme. You have to apply yourself. And then chapter 3 said, don't forget the teaching. And it talked about the rewards of teaching. Now in chapter 4, it's going to talk about the most effective instructional pattern that can be conceived. And our public schools will certainly disagree with me, but this is the most effective instructional pattern conceivable. And that is passing God's word from parents to children. Notice in verse 1 through 4, we have three generations. It's a father telling his son what his father told him. So we're passing it down from grandfather to father to son. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in verse 6 through 9, it says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals or frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them in the on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Of course, this led to phylacteries, but we won't get into all this today. What this section in Proverbs is telling us is how to carry out that command that was given in Deuteronomy. And it's simply this. First, we need a thorough, accurate knowledge of God's word. That is basic. It's primary. And that's why we teach God's word. You know, in verse 6, it says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Remember, the heart is the widest term for the inner person. So your whole inner person should have these words of wisdom, God's word, written on them. They should be ingrained in your very personality. And then we should teach those. We should teach them to our children. Now, sometimes you come here for help for that, but it's your responsibility, and you better make sure what your children are hearing is truth, because this is telling us that we need to have accurate, thorough knowledge of God's word, not just a cursory knowledge, but an accurate, thorough knowledge. And then we teach that to our children. How do we do that? Look what it says. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house." So daily conversations should include God's Word in our daily conversations, then, in every possible circumstance, we should be talking about God's Word. We should be learning God's Word because it's so central to our character, or it should be, that that's what would be the topmost on our minds. It has to be given absolute top priority. And we'll see that later this morning. Top priority. So, and it seems today that it's almost, I mean, you guys come here, and we all do it. I do it too. We come to church, and we're talking about our hobbies, what we did this week, our jobs, all of this stuff, and then we sit down and listen to God's Word for an hour, or if I get verbose, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And then, when the class is over, we immediately go back to talking about our hobbies, our work, our interests, and things like that. Do you ever notice that? Have you ever noticed that? Especially after class. I mean, it would be a wonderful time to discuss God's Word. And yet we seem to not want to do that. Gee, I wonder why. What's that thing called, the sin nature? So what Proverbs is going to do is it's going to present to us the promise of a quality life if wisdom is pursued and pursued diligently. Look at verse 4. We're back in Proverbs 4 now. And in verse 4 it says, "Then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" Now that word live often has a connotation of more than just existing. It has a connotation of being a quality life. So it's a quality of life as well as life itself. Look at Deuteronomy 4 for an example of this. We have the same word here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, now, the word live can just mean life, but it can also mean a quality life. And I think that's what it's talking about in Proverbs 4. That father or teacher is telling his son or student, you know, if you pursue wisdom, make it your absolute top priority, you can lead a quality life. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be free from troubles. It just means it's going to be a quality life. We're at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live." And that's the same word. Now, does he stop there? He says, no. "And go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." So there's more than just life involved. There's possession of the land as well. So it's talking about a quality of life, not just a fact of life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And verse 33, I just picked a few examples. There are many, many examples of these, of that word being used in that sense with that connotation in the Old Testament. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33, it says, "You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live." So you can exist, and that it might be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. So there's a connotation of quality as well as just life itself. Now take that back to Proverbs, and that's what Proverbs is telling us. That's what the teacher or the father is telling to his son. He's saying, if you seek wisdom, and you make God's word the absolute top priority, you can live a quality life. And that goes for every one of us. If we make God's word our top priority, then we can live a quality life. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go around with a silly grin on your face or a silly smirk. There are three paragraphs in chapter 4. First one is an introductory exhortation, and that's the one we're looking at now, and it goes from verse 1 to verse 9. That's the first paragraph. And what this paragraph is going to teach us is, one, pay attention to wisdom. Give attention to the well-proven wisdom. We'll talk about tradition here in chapter 4 and traditional teaching. And the next section in 5 through 9 is going to be make a choice to pursue that wisdom. It's not free. You have to make a choice to pursue it. It just doesn't come automatically when you become a believer. You're not just infused with all this wisdom. And remember, wisdom is skill. Skill in applying God's word to your life. And you can only do that if you know God's word. That's the basic. And Proverbs is going to tell us not only God's word, and that's to come yet. We're just preparing for it, but it's going to tell us that we have to make a choice to pursue that. Remember, wisdom is available to everybody. Chapter 1 said wisdom is screaming in the streets to be heard. It's right here. It's in God's word. It's not a matter of brain power, not a matter of having a right opportunity. It's a matter of choosing. So as Derek Kidner puts it, wisdom is here. Do you want it? Come and get it. Work at it. Second paragraph in chapter 4 talks about the two paths of life that are available to the believer. There are two ways you can go, and that'll be in verse 10 through 19. First, there'll be the way of the wise in 10 through 13. Then, the way of the wicked in 14 through 17. And then in 18 through 19, we'll have the conclusion, and it's an antithetical parallelism. Antithetical parallelism conclusion. So we'll have the ones who pursue wisdom end up here, the ones who pursue folly or evil end up there. And then in verse 20 through 27, we'll have a checklist. And this is going to be a checklist for the wise person. And it's going to, this section is designed to be a checklist to see if our life as a believer is going the way it should be. So if you're a believer and you want to see if your life is going as it should, Proverbs 4, 20 through 27 is going to tell you. Look at verse 20, for example. It'll say, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. So it's saying, check your ears. What are they taking in? Are they taking in media? Or are they taking in entertainment? Or are they taking in God's word? So check your ears first. And then in 21, it says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Remember, heart, the whole inner person. So when you look inside yourself, what's there? What do you see? Entertainment, media, news, or God's word? Now, this is a checklist. Go over this. See how we're doing. And verse 24 is a tough one. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. So you have to check your mouth, too. You know, are you living a good Christian life? Good Christian life is an oxymoron, I suppose. There's no such thing. as a good person in God's eyes except his son. So the only way we can be good people is to be in his son. We all know that. But we also all know that we're to be growing while we're here on earth. And this is a checklist of things, and it goes down through verse 27. It covers the ear, the heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Well, those five things we can check for. Each of these three paragraphs begins with an exhortation to give constant attention to wisdom. We had it in verse 1. Where it said, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention, that you may gain understanding." Verse 10, the beginning of the next paragraph, "Hear, my son, accept my sayings." And then, in verse 20, the last paragraph, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." So see, each of these three chapter or paragraphs in this chapter begins with an exhortation to pay constant attention to wisdom. And wisdom is found in God's Word. It's taught through teachers. It's taught through parents. It's taught through fellow believers. But it originates in God's Word. So let's look at these sections now. You know, and here's a point that some people have trouble with. They're always looking for something new and exciting. You know, going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night even, if you do, and sitting there taking notes, listening to facts about grammar, language, context, all of this stuff. That's no fun. I want to be entertained at church. But the major part of the Christian life is a consistent, persistent, dogged attention to truth that we already know. We just need to keep going over it and over it, because it'll slip away if we don't. Guaranteed. And you see people, I've seen it so many times. People leave and they say, "Well, you know, you worship truth there. You don't worship God." How do you separate God and truth? You can't. You can't separate God and truth. You can't separate God and his word. It's impossible. And in order to get wisdom, the first thing you need to have is God's word. Because everything is based upon that. Anything else is just human viewpoint. And that's what people want to hear. They want to hear human viewpoint, not divine viewpoint. So persistent, dogged attention to familiar truths. Now, the introductory exhortation in 1 through 9. And we'll start with the part we read at the beginning, and that is, give constant attention to wisdom. And that's verses 1 through 4. Now, instruction in Proverbs is seen to be coming from parents and teachers. Remember that in their culture, they called their teachers father sometimes too. So it's kind of difficult to determine actually if this is Solomon addressing his son or if it's a teacher addressing a student, because they use that word kind of interchangeably between fathers and teachers. So that's where the teaching comes from, but the wisdom comes from God's word. And the wisdom comes from knowing God's word and having the Holy Spirit act on that in the Christian life. That wouldn't be said of the Old Testament times, but in our day, in the church age, we have the Holy Spirit that will take God's word and will enable us to live a life that's pleasing to God. And that's a quality life. A quality life is one that's pleasing to God. Even if you're hanging upside down on a cross, to be crude, dying, if you're doing that because of God's word, then you're living a quality life up to the very second you go home to be with your God and your Savior. The instruction of the Father. This is kind of interesting that this section talks about the Father and the Mother both, and it uses two different words for what they do. The instruction of a father. Now, instruction is the word musar. Musar, and that's the same. Look over at Proverbs 1:8, and it talks about the same thing, where it says here, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So both parents are involved. The father is involved in instruction, and the mother is involved in the teaching. Now, what's the difference between those? They're different words in Hebrew. Musar is a word that goes further than just verbal instruction. It goes to the point of punishment. Look at Proverbs 13. We see that same word. Musar. Proverbs 13:24. Where it says, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him musars him diligently, discipline. So that word goes further than just verbal instruction. And it's kind of a strong word. Now in 1:8 of Proverbs again, it says the teaching of your mother. The word teaching is a different word. It's the word Torah. You've heard of Torah, right? Usually referred to the first five books of the Bible as the Torah or the law. Well, it refers to, in a larger sense, instruction. And that's the main function of the mother. She does the instruction. If the kid doesn't stay in line, dad comes in and gives him an incentive to stay in line. You see how that works? That's very contrary to our culture, so I have to be careful what I say or I'll end up in jail for hate speech. Proverbs has more to say than any other book of the Bible about respect for your mothers and your fathers, for that matter. What do we do today? What's the modern way of doing things in that area? Modern way would say, well, I'm going to evaluate this person and see what kind of a job he's doing. And I will respect him or not depending on how he's doing that job. That's the modern way. Man's view is respect parents if they deserve your respect. God's view is respect your parents because you owe that to them because of their position. They're your parents. Remember in Ephesians when we looked at this chart? Children are to respect their parents. Why? Because their parents are so wonderful and always right and never wrong. No. Children owe that respect to God because he is always right and never wrong, but God asked them to give it to their parents. So they owe that respect to their parents because they're their parents and because God said, honor your parents, respect your parents. And the Bible has a great deal to say about that, especially in the book of Proverbs. The enormous value of traditional wisdom. What is traditional wisdom? Here's the definition. Traditional wisdom is that body of truth that finds its source in the Word of God and it's time proven. So it's traditional because it's passed down, father to son, and it's proven over and over and over again. But it finds its source in God's Word. This is a difficult concept in our culture, isn't it? Why? How do we do things in our culture? We like new things, new thought. You know, I've said this before. If people have been studying the Bible and the New Testament, when I teach the New Testament, for some 2,000 years now. And if I come up with an idea that nobody's ever had before, I really question that. Because, you know, people have been studying this, people a lot smarter than I am, have been studying this book for 2,000 years. And if I have something that nobody else ever thought of, that doesn't mean I'll just dismiss it, but I really question it. I go back and I look and I make sure. Not that I have any new revelation for anybody. All I do is teach what the text says, what's been taught before. It's traditional wisdom. And that's what we should be steeped in. Somebody said, and I don't know who said this, it's an anonymous quote, "Ours may be the first generation in history that did not know how to raise its own young." What a comment on our culture, our modern culture, our modern progressive culture. You know when that remark was made? It was back in 1989. I think things have gotten better since then, of course, right? No, things have not gotten better since then in regard to raising our children. We don't know how to raise our children. We send them off to school. They get segregated into peer group herds, segregated by age and sex. They do it by sex up until a certain age. But we segregate them by age into peer group herds. And they always say, you go to a public school teacher, and they always say, well, homeschooling is bad because children don't get socialization. Do you call that socialization? It's not. Our daughter was homeschooled until she went to college. I mean, she had friends that were old, friends that were young, friends that were in between. Now, I'm not saying we did a perfect job, because we're humans too. But don't expect somebody else to have a better idea than God does. Because what's happened in our culture, and this was said by David A. Hubbard in his commentary, he made this statement, and isn't this true? It says, we doubt our traditional wisdom. That is the wisdom that we've had handed down. Remember, it came from God's word, but it's been taught and taught. We doubt that. So we derive our approach to child training from experts. And these experts are much more permissive than we really feel like they should be. And yet we turn them over to them because they're modern thinkers. They're experts in child training. You know, when I was a kid, I don't remember ever hearing once of a kid coming and shooting up a school. Even though most of the kids I knew had guns. I mean, I've been involved in the shooting sport since I was 10 years old. I never went and shot up a school. Even if I was mad at the teacher, I didn't do that. Something's wrong here, folks. We're forgetting how to train our children because we're forgetting our traditional wisdom. And we're turning it over to permissive experts. Now compare that with the Bible. What does the Bible say? What's 4:1 say? Hear, O sons, give attention. Is that a permissive? Well, you know, you got to be free to think anything you want. There's no passing, no failing. You're just free to express yourself. Okay, I want to express myself by killing you. Is that okay? Sure, why not? You know, that's a permissive society. We have to respect everybody's beliefs. You know, Charles Manson thought he was talking to God, too. Why should I? Am I supposed to respect his beliefs? Give attention. Hear. Verse 5, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. That's not a permissive parent speaking. Those words are just loaded right up to the gills with authority. You know, parents are the authority. We find the idea of traditional wisdom in Proverbs 4:2, where it says, sound teaching. It says, for I give you sound teaching. What is that? Well, the word teaching there is the word lakech. I wasn't clearing my throat. That's a guttural. That's my imitation of a guttural. Lakech. And what it means is to take from. To take from. That is used literally or figuratively. Literally, it was used to take something from somebody. Figuratively, it was used for taking understanding away from another. So he gives you understanding and you can take it away with you, is the idea. That's what we call traditional teaching. It's handed down from teacher to student. And someday the student will be the teacher and will hand it down. I learned most of what I know from that man on the wall back there, Chester McCulley. He handed it down to me, and now my job is to hand it down to you guys. And that's the way it works. It's traditional teaching. Here we have it for three generations. Grandfather gave it to father, father gave it to son. What are the advantages of early training? Verse 3 tells us that, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. So that's early instruction. The word tender tells us two things about the child. It's the word rach in Hebrew. And first it refers to being delicate in a physical sense, a delicate child. Second, it talks about someone who's inexperienced, like a child. So this verse points out that parents have to put forth effort to train their children because they are susceptible. They are delicate. They are inexperienced. We have to teach them. Remember when we first started Proverbs, when I said this is a book that children can study, children can learn, and they can learn the lessons that a lot of us had to learn the hard way through instruction. What a wonderful thing. I wish someone would have instructed me when I was a child. I don't know if I would have stayed out of trouble or not. It's, you know, who knows? I had to learn the hard way. Now in verses 5 through 9, and we'll get to this next hour, it's the admonition is going to be to give wisdom absolute priority in life. In 5 through 9, we'll have two major themes. The first will be the admonition or exhortation, command, to dedicate ourselves totally to the pursuit of wisdom. It's to have top priority in our lives. Wisdom is to have top priority. How do you get wisdom? A thorough knowledge and understanding of God's Word comes first, and then Proverbs is going to tell us how to get wisdom. So it's setting us up for the collections that follow the first one. The first one is in chapters 1 through 9, remember. And the other theme is going to be the rewards that wisdom will bestow upon or give to those who pursue her. Remember, wisdom is personified as a woman. So if we pursue Lady Wisdom diligently, wholeheartedly, then there are benefits to that. A quality life is one benefit. Now we'll pick up there then at verse 5 next hour, and we'll look at those two major themes. So if you read these between classes, keep those major themes in mind. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for giving us this wisdom, this knowledge that we can use and we can practice, we can make it so much a part of our character that doing your will just come automatically. It'll be so natural to us, and we will be able to fight off the evil ones. Father, in Christ's name we pray this. Amen.